Once again, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
It is a good morning, isn't it? Compared to last Sunday morning.
Yes.
And every morning we have is a joyous morning to be before our brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. And last Sunday, we could be flying away the way windy as it was here. But this morning, as thankful as we are to be here, we're going to focus on a lesson that allows us to think about the blessings we have in life. Okay? I want us to be, to have our thoughts right. So we're going to be bringing our lesson is going to come out of our text in 2 Corinthians, which I'll get to you here in a moment. But our relationship with God should be the most important thing in our life.
Amen.
Amen? We should act like it also. And the world should see, it should be seen to the world. It is something we have to, it is something we have to be thinking about and working on every day of the life, every day and every hour of our life that our Father gives us. We also need to work on our love life, our love for Christ and each other, our prayer life, and our faith. Remember to pray and study the Word daily to build our understanding and relationship with God. We should be thinking about how we can grow spiritually, individually, and as a family. We walk and talk and have our being in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Keeping our eyes on Christ is essential, and following his examples is important in getting to know him and trusting in the way he leads us. Let him be the driver, be in the driver's seat of our life, the pilot of our life, the director of our life, the guide of our life is a requirement to a good life. We should be in harmony with him and his will for us. Thus the importance of that relationship. To accomplish this, we need to examine ourselves. If we were to take every thought captive to Christ, how would that change our life? Title of this lesson is, How is Your Thought Life? We are told in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, and to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
That you may approve what is that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Mm-hmm. It has been said, what we are what we eat. Someone also said, we are what we think. Mm-hmm. Solomon, the writer of Proverbs chapter 23 and 7 says, said it first, for as he think in his heart, so is he. See how important our thoughts are. What do you think about most? What fills your thoughts and minds daily? Let a man examine himself. I have also heard it said, garbage in, garbage out. If we fill our thoughts with things that are not spiritual, out of that will come thoughts of thoughts and actions that are not pleasing to God.
Amen.
We know that to be true. We see it in the world every day. Turn on the television and see how much garbage you see. Our thoughts affect our life. Thoughts can bring smiles or tears, gladness or sadness, peace or anxiety. Romans 8 and 6 says, for to be carnal minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life.
Amen.
And peace. How is your thought life? It takes determination to stop negativity. We should be thinking of ways to glorify Christ, ways to love and help each other, thinking on ways to serve the Lord, and thinking about ways to serve our community. I believe positive thinking can yield positive results. Now, let me turn the page on you on this. Many ailments such as depression, high blood pressure, and insomnia, to name a few, had its beginning with plain old stinking thinking, says Dr. Mickey. It's a fact. Negative thoughts, negative ideas, negative attitudes. I'm not sure how many of you have sleepless nights because you was worried and had negative thoughts about things going on in your life. If you were going to get that pink slip tomorrow morning. How many times have you let our thoughts get the best of you? When the driver of that car cuts you off, or brake checked you, or was tailgating you, what were you thinking when the car runs the red light right in front of you? Or the person that takes the parking spot that you were trying to get to? What are you thinking or feeling or saying under your breath when these things happen? I'm going to turn my back because I really don't want to know. What are you thinking when the person gets in the 15-item or less checkout line just ahead of you at the supermarket with clearly 45 items? What is your attitude and thoughts when the person who never follows the rules gets a raise and a promotion ahead of you? I'm glad you guys are being quiet because if I could read minds, oh my goodness. When life don't seem fair to you after a day like this, what are your thoughts? Negative thoughts may not make you feel better, and it don't change the situation. Matthew 9:4 says, knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, why do you entertain evil thoughts in your hearts? Some of us know the thoughts, may think we know why that guy went through the red light, or why that person may have got their promotion, or why that person with 15 had 45 items in the checkout line. We don't know what they're going through, but we're entertaining evil thoughts in our hearts and our minds, not knowing truly why. Until you walk a mile in their shoes, you don't know anything about them. That kind of thinking can ruin a perfectly good day or night. To change our lives, we must change our thoughts. It's easy to praise the Lord in good times, but it takes real faith and courage to praise Him when things are not going so well. We've all gone through struggles. And when our backs are against a wall, when we don't know where to turn, we get on our knees. We pray. God tells us in Colossians chapter 3, verse 2, how our thought life should be. He says, set your mind on things above and not things on earth. Whatever the difficulties, whatever the struggles, all the people that check out line, the guy that's tailgating you, that company that's trying to steal your house, this will all be gone. Ephesians 4:23 says, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You've got to have the mind of Christ to endure the challenges and the difficulties and the struggles on this earth. Amen. But don't let it make you forget where you're trying to go. Okay? Keep your thoughts on the Lord and His teachings. When you are tempted to worry, especially in the still early hours of the morning, when you are alone with your thoughts, keep your thoughts on the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord in the midst of your adversity. Exercise your faith and trust in the Lord. Your thought life runs, your thoughts run your life. We should never let our spiritual lives get out of shape. Well, physically I managed to do that pretty well. Physically, I let myself get out of shape, but spiritually, we should never let that happen. To listen to our vocabulary, you would think we are the victims of our thoughts. How many of you heard this? Don't talk to me when I said I'm in a bad mood. As if a bad mood is where a place where to which you were to assigned. Or we say, don't mess with her. She has a bad disposition. Like a bad disposition is a cold or a flu. Are we the victim of an emotional bacteria of the season? Or do we have a choice? Do we have a choice about our attitude and our thoughts? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to look at verses 4 and 5 with emphasis on 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 and 5. For though we walk in flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. For pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That's what we want to focus on. Bringing our thoughts in line with Christ. Bringing our thought life and our thought process into submission to the way God will have it. Do you hear the battle jargon in that passage? Capture every thought. Make it give up and obey Christ. You get the impression that we are soldiers and the ungodly thoughts and ideas are the enemy. Our assignment is to protect the boat, which is our minds, from trashy thoughts, ungodly thoughts. We should go into strict training with daily study of God's word and spending time in prayer to discipline our heart and our mind to be Christ-like in everything we say, think, and do. We should apply the push principle. You guys know what the push principle is? P-U-S-H. Pray until something happens. Amen. That's part of our training regimen, to spend time in prayer with the Lord. When we're in prayer, we're in direct communication and direct training with Him, and we can overcome these trashy thoughts. By feeding our hearts and minds with the Word of God, we can be spiritually strong and be transformed by the renewing of our mind. The minute the enemy appears on the dock, we go into action. This heart and mind belongs to the guard, to God, we should be declaring. And you aren't getting on board until you change your allegiance. See, trashy thoughts, ungodly thoughts are your enemy. And until the enemy changes his or her allegiance, you don't allow them in. Pray before we go, and where you end up is just where God intended you to be. Prayer is important. It's important, and it gives us the insight and the connection to God and the way we should go and how we should act and think. In a trial, think of Psalms 56 and 3, where it says, "What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee." So we don't need to be afraid if we're going to trust in him. Trust and obedience to God can produce a happy thought life. Selfishness, step back. Envy, get lost. Find another boat. Anger, you are not allowed on this ship. Capturing your thoughts is serious business. Do we think about the negativity, or do we react to the negativity? When that car cuts you off in traffic, when the people jumped in front of you, when things happen, do we react, or do we actually think about it before we react and respond? I'm going to show you what God did here in a moment. But we need to examine ourselves so we can be better prepared. We can't be ignorant of the ways of Satan and how he makes us respond or act. Let us remember the thoughts that came from the mouth of Peter. Jesus had just prophesied his death, burial, and resurrection. But Peter couldn't bear it. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 22. 16 and 22, excuse me. Matthew chapter 16, verse 22 and 23 is what we're going to read. Here's where we see Peter has, it was before Jesus, and Jesus was prophesizing his death and burial and resurrection. And we will see where Peter's response to this. Matthew chapter 16, starting at verse 22. Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said. "This shall never happen to you." Look what Jesus said in verse 23. Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the concerns of God, but merely human concerns." God's telling Peter, "You are not helping me. Get out the way." See, our human concerns is what separate us from Christ. We got to be about our Father's business. Amen? Remember I just said that capturing our thoughts is serious business. God did not so much as take time to deliberate upon it. A trashy thought comes his way, and he gave the immediate reply to the temptation. See his decisiveness? See the decisiveness of Jesus? Right now, get behind me, Peter. Or Satan. Get behind me, Satan. It wasn't a thought. Let me think about this. How do I respond? No. He gave immediate reply. We see other evidence in Scripture of similar encounters that's recorded in the Bible. It is the subtlety of Satan to send temptations to us by the unsuspected hands or by our best and dearest friends. Thus in the assault of Adam by Eve. How about Job by his wife? And here Christ by his beloved Peter. It should concern us, therefore, not to be ignorant to the devices, but to stand against the wiles and the depths that Satan will go to change our thought life. Amen. We need to be prepared to stand up to him and always be on guard against sin. You know, an impure thought is a sin. You don't have to wait till it becomes an action. The thought is sinful in itself. Why? Because the thought can lead to the action. So we need to capture that thought first and bring it into captivity, into submission to the Word of God, so it doesn't become an action that could be detrimental to us. Even the kindness of our friends are often abused by Satan and made use of as a temptation to us. We got a lot of people out there say, oh, you don't need to go to church on Wednesday. It's okay. You can come. Let's go over here and we can do this and we can do that. There's many things in the world that will try to draw us away from Christ. I was saying something about earlier in the Sunday school. TV, fishing, going to races, driving all the way to the state line to get some lottery tickets. There are many things in this world that will try to draw us away from the will of God. The thoughts of the righteous are right, but the counsel of the wicked are deceiving. Those people will say, come with me. Let's go over here and do this. Are trying to draw us away from the counsel of the righteous, which is God and His Word. We see Jesus stand at the gangplank to the dock and say, get away from me. So if he sees it, we see it. He's not going to let us be ignorant. We see those ways people are coming at us to separate us from him. When Jesus stands at the gangplank to the dock and says, get away from me, as to say, you are not allowed here to enter my mind. We have to be mindful of that too when we see our friends and people trying to get into our mind and separate us from Christ, trying to get in our lives and separate us from Christ, trying to draw us away from the place, our brothers and sisters, where we can find strength, encouragement, and hope, and the study of God's Word. We cannot let that happen. Get away from me. What if we did say that? What if we did say, get away from me? What if we took every thought into captivity and told it to get away from me? Be careful what you think, because your thoughts run your life. Controlling your thoughts equals self-control. Happy thoughts, happy life. I changed that around a little bit. All right, guys, I think we're outnumbered in here. We're in trouble. We should participate in conversations that encourage and build up rather than criticize and demean. Turn with me to Jeremiah 29 and 11. Jeremiah chapter 29, we're going to look at verse 11. Our thoughts really guide us in where we, how we feel, where we go, what we say, and what we do. Our thoughts control so many aspects of who we are and what we do. Do you know your thoughts can dictate whether you feel good today or not? You don't have to feel pain to say, oh, I don't feel good today. You just don't feel like it. Okay? So our thoughts do control a lot of ourselves and our interaction with one another. Yeah. Jeremiah 29:11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Don't you want to think about that for a while? This is what he wants for you. Not what he's asking of you. The people in the world are trying to drain you, trying to ask of you, trying to take from you. When I say take from you, trying to take you from Christ and his will. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says, let this mind be in you which was in Christ. All godly action begins with the renewing of your mind. Discover and display the will of God. It's all here. We make these decisions by the way we think, spiritual or carnally. What's here? I said, if you fill it with garbage, garbage in, garbage out. You fill it with spiritual things, going to have a happy life. Right thinking produces right actions. Well, that says it all. Lesson over. Our actions are the fruit of our deepest thoughts. In you, in your lives, thinking and being like Christ are requirements not only for individual, but also for a corporate body of believers. Spiritual thinking. Together we need to think and act like one, like the person of Jesus Christ. We need to think as one. We need to think in Christ as we are in Christ, and we must think Christ-like in everything we say, think, and do. Romans 12 and 3 says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly, as God has dealt each one of you a measure of faith." He said, now God's telling you we got to think. And we got to think soberly. We got to think based on our faith in God, what we understand in God, what we know in God. In class this morning, we said we don't have to doubt God. We know God. We don't need to doubt anything. So if you have faith in him, you don't have no doubt. He says he's given each of us a measure of faith. And then he tells us to think soberly. There's no more, greater or more sober person I know than Jesus Christ. Now, we can change that word soberly to wise, mature, a lot of things. And finally, if you turn with me to Philippians chapter 4, we're going to look at verses 8 and 9, and this lesson will be yours. And many of you probably know this scripture by heart. Mm-hmm. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be anything praiseworthy," what does he say? "Think on these things," or meditate on these things. Not the things in the world, not the things on the news, not what your cousin said, but what God says. He says, think on these things. "The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the peace, and the God of peace will be with you." Amen. So you won't have none of them trashy thoughts. Those retaliatory moments of lapse of spiritual response. You'll be able to say, well, I guess they was running late. Let me get out of their way. I guess that person who had 45 items in a checkout line really had somewhere important in to go. I'll let them go on about their business and get out of my way. That guy who got the promotion ahead of you, boy, he's in for a lot of work and I get to go home on time. It's your thoughts. It's how you think that can make the difference in sadness, anguish, and depression and sleepless nights. It's how you train up your mind that makes a difference. If you bring your mind into subjection to the Word of God and hold it captive, happy days, happy nights, happy life. But it requires you to keep your mind in the Word of God. Keep your focus on God. finally, in conclusion, feeding your heart and mind with spiritual food will starve it of evil thoughts. Feeding your heart and minds with spiritual food will starve it of evil thoughts. God protects and provides for people who follow him. Even though we may doubt, God's faithfulness does not waver. He says that he will provide everything you need to renew your mind. That's your lesson. If you desire the peace that surpasses all understanding by the transforming, by the renewing of your mind, come to Jesus. If you would like to surrender your life to him and be baptized for remissions of sin, the water is ready and available to you. We give you that opportunity. If you want to rededicate your life and refocus and commit your life back to Christ, or desire the prayers of the congregations, whatever your need, make it known while we stand and sing the invitation.